Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast for the 2010 Amgen Tour of California. The Daily Tour Podcast is powered by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and Bicycle.net, and hosted by me, David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I'll be your host for daily coverage of this year's race. Once again, we'll ride with the pros and bring you coverage of some of the best bicycle racing in the world as the Peloton makes its way from Nevada City in the north to Thousand Oaks in the south. Over 8 stages, 800 miles, and tens of thousands of feet of climbing. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. For your weekly audio dose of cycling news, culture, interviews, product reviews, and more, listen and subscribe to the Fredcast. And for more cycling news, product reviews, original cycling essays, go to Bicycle.net or subscribe to their RSS feeds. And now, here's today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. The 2010 Daily Tour Podcast is sponsored by EpicPlanet.tv, producers of the Epic Rides DVD series, virtual bike rides filmed on truly epic routes in scenic locations around the world. Epic Rides DVDs are great for winter training, rainy days, or any time you want to do a concentrated indoor training session. Right now, Epic Planet is offering an amazing deal on what they're calling the Fredcast 5-Ride Bundle. All 5 of the current Epic Rides, Epic Vermont, Epic Acadia, Epic Saguaro East, Epic Mount Lemmon, and Epic Rouge-Roubaix at a truly epic price. 5 DVDs or digital downloads, normally a $150 value for just $95.46. Get all 5 DVDs and the digital downloads, normally a $200 value for just $112.46. To get this amazing limited-time price, go to epicplanet.tv/Fred, place your order, and use the coupon code FRED at checkout. That's epicplanet.tv/Fred, coupon code FRED, for an epic deal on epic rides. And now, let's get to today's show. Welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast for Monday, May 17th, 2010, and it's time for Stage 2 of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California. Today's stage begins in Davis, goes 110.1 miles all the way to the home of reigning champion Levi Leipheimer in Santa Rosa, California. Now, normally, when the riders come into Santa Rosa, at least the last few years, they've made 3 finishing circuits around downtown Santa Rosa. Today, there will be no finishing circuits. The riders will come past the shopping center there in Santa Rosa, underneath the railroad bridge, and up straight into town and right to the finish line. Along the way, there will be 2 intermediate sprints and 4 King of the Mountain climbs, including Category 4, California 128, Category 2, Howell Mountain, Category 3, Oakville Grade, and then the Category 2, Trinity Grade at 1,749 feet or 533 meters. Now, we talked yesterday about the fact that the Tour of California moved to the month of May, ostensibly to avoid inclement weather at the start of today's stage. The forecast was a 60% chance of precipitation, and that quickly became 100% as the riders got out there on the course. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but first, let's look at the standings heading into today's Stage 2. As you know by now, Mark Cavendish from Team HTC Columbia won yesterday's stage in 4 hours, 4 minutes, and 36 seconds. Coming in second place was JJ Hayato from Team Saxo Bank. He came in 4 seconds behind Mark Cavendish. In third place, Alexander Kristoff from Team BMC, 6 seconds back of Mark Cavendish. Also 6 seconds back in fourth place, Martin Changili from Team Rabobank. And in fifth, Mark DeMar from United Healthcare, presented by Maxis, 7 seconds back of Mark Cavendish. And that is your general classification heading into today's Stage 2. The best young rider heading into today's stage is Alexander Kristoff from Team BMC. Your overall king of the mountains is Paul Mach. And in the green jersey would be Mark Cavendish, but because he will be wearing the golden jersey of the leader of the Amgen Tour of California today, second place for the overall sprint classification, JJ Hayato from Team Saxo Bank will be wearing the green sprint standings jersey heading into today's stage two. Before we get to the recap of today's race, we have a couple of pre-race interviews, including this one, where Bicycle.net's Cynthia Liu had a chance to catch up with race announcer Dave Toll. If you've been to any major bicycling events around the United States, this is a voice you will recognize. Not Cynthia's, Dave's.
Hi, so tell me a little bit about how your experience here has been announcing and, you know, this whole journey.
Yeah, well, this is the best week I have all year, no question. The amount of support that we get, the size of the crowds, the energy, the athletes that you get to meet, meeting people like you. Like, honestly, this is as good as it gets. It seems to me like at the end of the day, I have trouble falling asleep because there's so much that you're thinking about through the day and the cool people you met. And, like, last night I got to have dinner with Amgen Stuart Arbuckle and Andrew Messick from AEG and Kristen Bachochin. And like you're sitting there looking around, and you're like, these are the people that I read their quotes all year on, you know, talking about this sport and where it's going. And to be able to just interact with them like that, it's awesome. And that's just one facet of why this is so cool.
And for me, it's been really great too, because I hear you announcing, I heard you at Dana Point, and like to meet you here. So it's That's very great for me, too.
Dana Point was a good example of, like, what they did with that Cox cable and getting that race. A lot of people saw it.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, the Amgen Tour California is the platinum standard. But races like that are raising their game because of what they're seeing. And, I think you're going to see in the next couple of years more and more. And, you know, where you are down in SoCal, that's a real stronghold for racing right now.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about how you got into this, how you got into announcing.
I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and so my folks got divorced, and my mom lived really close to Mike Lasner, who was the director of the Coors Classic, and so really had some amazing opportunities to connect to the sport, like 14, 15 years old, just as a gopher with teams, and then that was back in the era, if you watch those old DVDs, where the Soviet Union team was dominant, and they came over and raced against Le Mans in 81, and I was there, like, you know, I spoke a little bit of Russian, I'd taken some in school, and so it was really amazing to be around.
In high school?
Yeah, it was odd. Fairview High School in Boulder, Colorado had a teacher who had the ability to do it.
Uh-huh.
So they offered it two periods a day. I even took it in junior high, like, long story. But I had a 50-word vocabulary that was 50 words more than anyone else at that time, you know? So, and that really, they needed it. American kid knew his way around town, knew the training routes around because I was a cyclist. And so then that just kind of parlayed into being a mechanic and a racer, and ultimately, maybe 2003, Saturn Cycling Classic. Jeff, the guy I worked with, he was the announcer, and he had a problem getting to the finish. They needed a stand-in announcer for a while, and then ultimately, when Jeff got there, I got to keep working with him.
That's cool. So how do you think of enough stuff to fill the dead air?
I know, it's weird. I never have a problem. I mean, there's a lot, like, so easy in a lot of ways. These guys, today you've got Paul Mach. This is his hometown. He's goes to school here, getting his PhD. He's in the California Tourism Travel King of the Mountain jersey.
Yep.
That right there could fill half an hour of show. You know, and we only have 40 minutes. So there's never a shortage of, like, that's part of the being around the sport.
Yeah.
You learn what interests people out there, because it's not just like he was 18th at the Tour de Picardy in 2007.
Right.
It's sometimes there's other things that they connect to out there. And so it's not raw result data. It's that, you know, human beings connect to stories, whether it's an underdog story, whether it's the same high school, whether it's from the same country that you are from, whatever it is.
Right.
That's what people connect to. And you got to respect that.
Can you see people reacting as you're telling the story of, say, you know, Ken Mach being here, it's his hometown?
Like, absolutely. When you start telling the story, you see people pay attention. You know, and that's where you kind of, there's an ebb and a flow with that out there. But that you notice, and people tend to work in mass when one person is like, oh, this is interesting. Other people are like, well, why is he interested or why is she interested?
Uh-huh.
And they, you know.
They'll pay attention.
Yeah. I learned a long time ago, like, you know, if you go on any of the internet forums, you'll see, you know, there's people that love you and people that hate you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it. And I think Phil Liggett gave me maybe the best advice is you've got to play to your strengths and what got you to where you are. And you can't worry about what everyone says.
Yeah.
You know, like if you do and you try to change your style to suit them, you end up pleasing nobody. You know, so
yeah.
You really do. I mean, I think in that craft of announcing a bike race, go with what you feel. And my thing is, you know, try to have a friendly, supportive, encouraging vibe, especially at, you know, USA Cycling National Championships, where you've got races at the high end that are crushing it and other races that are maybe really struggling.
Yeah.
They deserve a lot of support, I think.
Yeah.
At this level, these guys don't need your support. They're pros. You know, like,
yeah.
They're cool on support. What they're looking for is a dynamic that's exciting and respecting their what they do, their craft of racing. And, you know, you want announcers who get it right.
Yeah.
You know, and who give accurate time splits and who understand who's on the front leading the chase. Because when riders come through, you know, if you're in a breakaway, what really the information that you probably want to know is what's happening right behind me. You can't really look back and see, is HTC lining it up? Is Fly V lining it up? What's going on? Because you know if it's a mixer rider, it's probably going to stay away, you know. So,
yeah.
Or not probably going to stay away, but at least they're not coming full gas. So, anyways, those kind of things certainly make the sport riveting.
And if you want riveting, Dave Toll is definitely that. Thanks so much to Dave for that interview, and thanks to Cynthia Liu from Bicycle.net. for bringing it to us today. Next up, we had the opportunity to speak with Eric Smith. Eric has the unique title of course director for the Amgen Tour of California. And the first thing we wanted to know was, what does that mean?
Sure. Once we pick the host cities for each stage, then my responsibility is, with a lot of other people's input and help, is to select the courses, sort of connecting the dots, making sure that we highlight the state and also minimize impact on businesses and traffic and residents. And then securing permission from all the different counties and cities throughout the state. It typically ends up at about 90 to 100 permits to put this race on.
Now, if you've ever followed a race like the Amgen Tour of California, perhaps on race radio, one of the things that you'll find is that the riders and teams are constantly being given warnings about various road hazards and road conditions, railroad tracks. We wanted to know how they plan for those things as they get ready for each day's stage.
Yeah, well, the first thing we do is we make an initial analysis of the routes and we drive them and log them, and then we meet with Caltrans and CHP and review the preliminary routes to make sure that we're not coming into any construction areas we don't know about. We typically get feedback and then we'll go back out and redo the course based on their input. And we note things like railroad tracks and know that we have to contact the different railroad companies. We try to minimize closing any of the freeway ramps. That's an impact on traffic, and it's a financial impact on us as well.
Obviously, there's a lot of work that goes into planning a race like this, and we're wondering, as soon as this race is over, do you start planning for 2011?
No, we started 6 weeks ago. So we already have some preliminary ideas we're looking at for starts and finishes and make sure it's within the time frame, and then you start connecting the dots. One of the things you have to look for is we're trying to minimize the transfers for the teams as well. We try to keep them down to an hour and a half, 2 hours max. Beyond that, it's really not acceptable to the teams.
Beginning 6 weeks ago to plan the 2011 Amgen Tour of California must mean he has a pretty big staff. We wanted to know exactly how big his staff is.
Thousands. I mean, we get input from the racers, from the cities, from any number of people, but it's probably six or seven that end up making the decisions.
Every stage race has its signature stages, and we were wondering whether it's the terrain that creates the stage, if you're looking for a specific length, or whether there are other factors to be considered as you plan each day's stages?
That's a good question. Certainly moving to May, we had the opportunity for longer stages because the riders are in more shape, and also looking for terrain that we couldn't get to in the earlier years. That's why you see us in up in Big Bear this year, for example, where we couldn't get to in previous years.
So if you're familiar with mountains in California, and ski areas and places that might make for great mountaintop finishes. Was it just me, or did I just hear Eric almost say mammoth? Go back and listen to that again, because just before he said Big Bear, it sounded to me like he was about to say mammoth. Considering he started planning next year's race, I wonder if we just learned something that maybe Eric didn't want us to learn. Okay, but back to the interview, and we wanted to know, it sounds like there's a lot of work that goes into this, perhaps more than most would expect, and we wanted Eric to sort of give kudos to his team, and we wanted to know what he thought was most important for you to know about what it is that he and his team do.
The only thing I'd say is every mile the race is run, somebody owns that piece of road or that piece of property, and we have to negotiate with them to get permission for it. And we started this process in June of 2009, and I'm still waiting for a couple permits to come through yet this week. But that's, especially with the city of LA, that's such a major undertaking to put the time trial in down there. It just takes a long time for a city to plan. You have to understand that we're not the only game in town. City of LA has a lot of major events going on, like the marathon and other things that they're planning at the same time, and they've got limited resources as well. Nevada City yesterday, even though it's a small town, it was a challenge for us logistically for parking, trying to get all these 45-foot buses in there. LA, people may think a town like that is dead on a Saturday, but it's very, very alive. There's a lot of things going on and a lot of stakeholders, not only the businesses, but hospitals, USC, the LA Coliseum. You have to reach out and touch all of them and get their permissions and try to do what you can to accommodate them.
And in true Daily Tour fashion, we wanted to bring you a little behind-the-scenes stuff. So the question was, what's the craziest thing you've seen that you've had to fix while the race is ongoing?
That's difficult. I think probably last year on the Stage 3 from Sausalito into Santa Cruz, about a half hour before we took off, the Great Highway flooded. And we had to go down there and make an immediate detour at the last minute.
So there you go, a lot of planning going into putting these courses and these stages together for the Tour of California every year, and they're already starting on next year's race. And finally, in our pre-race interviews today, Cynthia Liu had the opportunity to catch up with Mike Friedman from the Jelly Belly Professional Cycling Team.
So how's it been for you back racing the Tour of California here?
Well, Tour of California is it's a taste of Europe, so it's a lot like going back to Europe. Yesterday was pretty stressful. It's always the first stage is the most stressful. The legs, we did a lot of media stuff the 2 days prior, so the legs weren't 100%, but I think everybody was in the same boat. So a couple crashes at the end marred the sprint, but today is a little bit different story. Once GC gets set today, then the whole race will be open for breakaways going to the line. So
cool.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
So you said you're getting ready for the Sufferfest. You ready for that rain and cold?
I'm always ready for the rain and cold. I'm a little bit of the I'm a little bit bigger, so I thrive in that kind of stuff. today is supposed to be one of the easier days. As I don't know if you guys saw the profiles, but they get harder from here, and today looks pretty hard. So it'll be interesting, especially with the wind, and the guys are keyed up to hit it in the crosswind, and I've been showing the guys how to do that in Thailand and Korea. So, it takes team effort, and we have a team effort to do it. So,
now Mike's interview was a bit prophetic, and we'll talk about why in just a minute as we get ready to recap Stage 2 of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California. As I mentioned earlier, today's stage was just over 110 miles or 177 kilometers from Davis to Santa Rosa, and just before the town of Winters, just about 20 kilometers into the race, a breakaway formed, and yes, there was Michael Friedman from Team Jelly Belly, whom we just heard from. Also in the break, Andrew Randall from Spider Tech, Thomas Rabau from Team Type 1, Robert Thompson from Fly V Australia, and Carl Menzies from United Healthcare Maxis. The pace most of the day was set by two teams, HTC Columbia, Mark Cavendish in the Golden Leaders jersey, and Team Radio Shack trying to find a way to get their defending three-time champion Levi Leipheimer into that golden jersey. And the group of the peloton stayed together, and the break mostly stayed together until the second-to-last climb, at which point things started to break up very fast. As I mentioned earlier, there was a forecast for rain, and the rain did arrive, making for a slippery and dangerous course as those riders eventually made their way down the final descent off of the Trinity Climb, at which point the brake had fractured, the peloton had fractured, and guys like Mark Cavendish, Tom Bonin, and Fabian Cancellara were well off the back of the main field. Finally, a group of about two dozen riders eventually closed up on Thomas Rabaul, who had gained all of the King of the Mountains points for the day, eventually ending up in the King of the Mountains jersey on the podium at the end of the day. That 24-25 rider group included the Team Radio Shack notables Lance Armstrong, Chris Horner, Levi Leipheimer, plus from Team Saxo Bank, Andy Schleck, and Jens Voigt. From Team HTC Columbia, Dave Zabriskie, Tom Danielson, George Hincappie that was there from BMC as well, and so was Ben Day from Fly V Australia. And that group of two dozen riders made their way into the finish line in Santa Rosa. But at the end, it was Brett Lancaster from Team Cervelo Test who took the stage victory, followed closely by Peter Sagan from Liquigas and Lars Boom from Rabobank. Rounding out the top 10 for today's stage, Rory Sutherland, André Steensen, François Parisien, Levi Leipheimer, Ryder Hegdahl, Ettingbach Lars, and Michael Rogers. So at the end of the day, atop the general classification and wearing the Golden Leaders jersey as we go into Stage 3 tomorrow, Brett Lancaster from Team Cervelo Test in a total of 8 hours, 43 minutes, and 24 seconds. Peter Sagan from Liquigas is 4 seconds back in second place. Carl Menzies is in third, 4 seconds back. Lars Boom from Rabobank is 6 seconds back in fourth place. In third, Thomas Rabaul from Team Type 1, 6 seconds back. In case you're wondering about our defending champion, Levi Leipheimer from Team Radio Shack, he's just 10 seconds back in 12th place. And for those of you who are fond of the man in yellow, Lance Armstrong is also 10 seconds back in 18th place. Mark Cavendish is still atop the point standings, and he'll be in the green jersey tomorrow with 15 points. In second place is Brett Lancaster from Cervelo Test, also with 15 points, and J.J. Hiato with 12 is in third. As far as our young rider, Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas is atop those standings. And as mentioned earlier, in the King of the Mountains jersey, Thomas Rabaul from Team Type 1 with 26 King of the Mountain points, with Carl Menzies in second with 22 points. We caught up with a number of people after the stage, starting with a little bit of a soundbite from Johan Bruneel, what they were looking at before the stage and how it worked out for Team Radio Shack.
A little recap. Before the stage, we kind of decided that today would be a pretty, especially in view of the weather forecast, that would be a difficult stage to control, and that we assume our role as the favorites of the race, and that we kind of knew or predicted that nobody. Anything that happens, which happened in the race, everyone looks at us and say, "Okay, you guys do the work," which is what happened finally. So we had two different scenarios. Number one was if there's a bigger break, we have to have somebody in the break representing our team, so we can use that as an excuse not to work, and anybody else who doesn't have somebody in the break has to work. That didn't happen. There was a small group, which is also good. The second scenario was a small group, and that's easy to control. And knowing that most of the sprinters wouldn't make it over those climbs, we also knew that they wouldn't work during the stage. So we, as soon as those four guys went, we started to set a tempo with two of our riders, with Jason McCartney and Muraviev, just to keep the brake under control. And you cannot have any negative riding if there's a group which is gone, and even if there's nobody in there who could potentially be a danger. You always have to see, well, you know, what do the other teams want to do, and they can say, you know, well, it's Radio Shack's race to lose, so it's up to you guys. And so if we give that brake 10 minutes, then we basically punish ourselves because we have to go so much faster in the final. So we decided at a certain moment when it had 4 to 5 minutes to start to make a tempo and just keep it there, keep the break in within 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, which is what we did the majority of the stage. And then when we came in the hilly zone, then Popovic accelerated, and there was a big split, a big separation in the peloton, and we came on those last two climbs, and there our objective was really to have the majority of the team in the front and avoid any crashes or splits in the peloton. I mean, we of course had the advantage that to have a guy like Levi in the team who knows this parcours like his back pocket. And so it turned out really well. You know, 25 riders in the front and 5 of us, so it was a good result. I mean, I didn't see the result of the stage, so I don't know if we had anybody in the sprint or anything, but basically, you know, the race comes down to 25 riders now, and we have five of them, so that's a good position. Yeah.
We then had the opportunity to listen to Thomas Rabaul from Team Type 1, our new King of the Mountains jersey wearer, and his impressions of today's stage.
Today was a good day for us. We wanted to get our jersey, and today we managed to get our jersey. And now we have to make sure we can keep this jersey till the last day. And of course we will try our best to win a stage also, but it will be very hard, I guess. But we will always try, yeah.
How did the rain affect the descent down Trinity?
Sorry,
how did the rain and the weather conditions affect the descent, particularly on the coast?
Of course, when it's raining, the descents always get more slippery than when they are dry. But we were on the last KOM, we knew we were going to be caught back, so we took it relatively easily in the downhill once it crashed. So actually, today was a good day. No, we didn't have to take extra risks, actually, so it was quite good. And tomorrow it will be good weather, I hope, I guess, so should be fine.
Tomas, you were with the Rabobank Continental team the past 3 years, is that correct?
Yeah, the last 3 years I was in the Rabobank team.
Anyone you want to dedicate this victory to?
To my mother. She's trying to recover from her cancer, but she's fighting really hard. So I think she will be proud of me today. And I dedicate this jersey to her, of course. And I think it will help her to fight even harder to get rid of this disease. I think she will fight hard and she will manage to get better, I'm sure. I hope she has been watching today, because this race is being broadcasted on Eurosport in Europe. So I think she might have watched today. I hope so. Otherwise she will find out, I guess.
And finally, a question for Phil Sutherland from Team Type 1. We talked to Phil yesterday, and you'll recall him saying that one of his goals was to win stages, win points, win jerseys. So this question, I think, is one very apropos to that interview we did yesterday.
Phil, tell me how proud you are right now of this guy and what's going through your head.
This means the world to me, you know, to see Thomas standing here, you know, how hard he fought out there. I mean, he went home right after training camp to be with his mom. You know, he wasn't, you know, sure how her recovery was going to be, and he spent, you know, a few months with her, and then came back to us, you know, full guns blazing. And you know, we wanted the KOM. We had 3 goals today. You know, get in the break, win the KOM, and win the stage. Thomas took 2 of those goals in his own hands, and he didn't just put the KOM jersey, but also the most courageous jersey. And we have, you know, millions of people with diabetes around the world following this team, and to see him in the breakaway is a representation of this disease and what you can achieve with it. So it was awe-inspiring to watch, and I can't wait to watch him fight to keep the jersey till the end of the week. And it's going to be a challenge, and we're up against some phenomenal teams, but you know, if anyone can do it, it's Thomas, and you know, he's got all of Team Type 1 to back him up here.
Thank you.
and our 24 million teammates that are here in the U.S. with us.
And finally, we got a little one-on-one with Thomas after the press conference. It was very poignant the way he talked about his mom and her battle with cancer. And the Amgen Tour of California does a lot for raising awareness and raising money for cancer. And so we thought we'd catch up with Thomas just a little bit more on that topic.
She was 2 months ago, she was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin cancer. And she's having a second chemo now, but the first chemo was she had really good results after the first chemo, so things look really great now. I thought probably she will heal from this non-Hodgkin.
An effort like Thomas put in today is always difficult, but made even more so by the weather and the conditions. We wanted to know his impressions of those conditions.
Yeah, especially the second last climb, because I wanted to stand on my pedals, but my rear wheel slipped away because it was so slippery. So I had to sit back on my saddle, and it was really hard to get power on my pedals. It was really hard, this 1K. Well, only 1K, but it was a really hard 1K, so...
You also wonder a little bit about strategy when you're out there on the road. And Thomas did so well today against his compatriots in the break. Just wanted to know what was going through his mind.
When we got away in the beginning with the five riders, I already knew these weren't the best climbers. So I already was thinking that I had a good chance. And then on the second climb, I just pulled on the front, and I looked back, and they couldn't follow me. So it was a good sign for me for the following KOMs. And finally, I was able to get all the KOM points, first places. So it's really a good day for me for the KOM jersey.
As Phil Sutherland noted, getting a jersey was definitely one of the team's goals. How hard is Thomas going to fight to keep that jersey?
As hard as possible, of course. Yeah, we have still 6 days to go, I guess. So, but I think I really need to be in the coming 3 days to be at least one time in the breakaway again to get points. So that's the main goal, to get in the breakaway tomorrow. It's the first goal for me personally. And of course, try to be on camera as much as possible, because it's a good it's a good way to spread the message of our team, to get exposure and to inspire all the people with diabetes to control their diabetes and to have a good lifestyle. Because we want to show the people that everything is possible, even if you have type 1 diabetes.
And everything certainly is possible for Thomas, your new KOM jersey wearer. Well, it's time to look at tomorrow's Stage 3. Tomorrow, the riders go 113.3 miles. From San Francisco to Santa Cruz. There are two intermediate sprints very early in the stage at about the 10 and 20 mile mark. And then there are four King of the Mountain climbs, including the final climb up to Bonnie Doon. And if you remember last year, that's where Levi Leipheimer took the golden jersey and kept it all the way to the finish in the Amgen Tour of California for 2009. Those climbs in order tomorrow: Tinnitus Creek Road, a Category 2 at 1,562 feet or 476 meters. California 84, a Category 3 at 1,427 feet or 435 meters. Pescadero Road, a Category 4 at 1,053 feet or 321 meters. And then finally, Bonnie Doon, also called Pine Flat Road, a Category 2 at 2,135 feet or 651 meters. The weather forecast for tomorrow looks much better. A high of 61 degrees and partly cloudy in San Francisco, and a high of 70 in Santa Cruz. Should be a great day of racing. We'll be back again tomorrow with another episode of the Daily Tour. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of bicycle.net. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or to jt@bicycle.net. This is your host, David Bernstein, from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. So long from the 2010 Amgen Tour of California, and thanks for listening.